Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 15th, 2022. Evan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. I loved your question. I got very excited. So Evan is a cash flow cat and his side biz is freelance technical writing. And then he's also a voiceover artist. And your victories are you successfully asked for an extension on your technical writing project schedule without any fuss from your client. Yes, they're behaving themselves very well.
They are.
Yeah. They seem to be, yes. Because the work is taking longer than originally estimated. But like we said, this is like a plumbing job. Once you break through the wall and start looking at the pipes, you're like, oh yeah, there's some stuff here that we just couldn't know till we started. Mm-hmm. That happened all the time when I was organizing. It was like, And you planted another technical writing seed with a friend who works at Intel. And he said that they may have some internal documentation and SOPs that have been backburnered. Woo, that's the words you're looking for. And that is another little thing to remember when you're planting these seeds or when you have, you know, when your friends are like, so Evan, what are you up to? And you're like, oh, I'm doing this in voiceover. And then I'm doing this on the side. And then you want to tell people what they would listen for that would indicate someone might be a good client or in the mix. And this sort of thing, you know, what I do for companies is companies have to generate a lot of internal documentation, but these are the projects that always get shifted to the back burner. So if you ever hear of someone being like, oh yeah, we have a lot of stuff on the back burner, find out what that is. And if it's writing stuff, manuals and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But that back burner is a key phrase. So that was really great. I love that you articulated it. But your question today is actually about your voiceover acting main business.
Yes.
And you were like, okay, I need to write up some, you know, about me blurbs for your profiles on the various online casting websites. And your voiceover coach recommended that you include a statement about your customer service philosophy, which I think is a good idea. That's what you wrote. I agree. But I'm struggling with writing mine up. And below is a draft of what I have so far. I'd appreciate feedback. But here's what you also wrote. Your anxious brain is anxious about what you've written. You're worried about overpromising, not being able to deliver on your philosophy, coming off as fake. And the overpromising, not being able to deliver fear stems from one, the burnout in your past life as an engineer where the corporate or the culture of the company is like, go be above and beyond, do whatever it takes, that kind of energy that was forced upon you in a way that really drained your sweet creative soul, understandably. And then the second fear is this fear of letting people down, you know, just has been, it's just hardwired into you in a way where it's like, you just don't want to let people down.
Yeah.
And I love this question because it really speaks to the fact that even a task of like, write a couple sentence about you, little paragraph to put on a site. Sometimes these little tasks that seem like, God, I should be able to just, you know, do this in an hour. It's like, oh no, this is so much more than just that. That can trigger the fear stuff. It can be like, oh, but wait, now I'm worried about what I'm saying and what I'm promising. And I just want people to know, and this is going to be different for all, each one of us, that when you're stuck on what is seemingly a simple task, before you start beating yourself up about how, oh, I should be able to not do this, I should have had this done 2 weeks ago. It's like, if you are resisting something or it's making you feel a little tight, there's probably some other bigger picture stuff going on. And before you can knock out a really, you know, killer paragraph, you might have to address some of that stuff first. So I love that this is such a perfect little encapsulation of the fact that a seemingly simple task, and you're like, whoa, look at what my brain is doing right now. So I'm going to read what you wrote, which, by the way, is solid. Like,
okay,
you could post that. I have some suggestions, but you could totally post that as is, and it's solid. So you wrote, when you hire me, you hire a professional collaborator and problem solver dedicated to working with you to understand and fulfill your voiceover needs. My goal is to foster a working relationship that you can rely on and trust and produce quality voiceover that exceeds your expectations. I'm also friendly. I promise I don't bite. And then you had an alternate version of that. Like, I'm also friendly and human. I pass all the I am not a robot tests. Okay, so that is solid. I liked that you were thinking there at the end, maybe I could inject a little more personality into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm always for, please do. Because you don't want your paragraph to sound like everybody else's paragraph.
Right.
And you don't want it to sound like corporate-y. You want it to be, because they are hiring you, a person. So you want it to really sound like a person. Hey, I'm a person talking to you, a person who's checking me out and considering me. So the subtle little thing I want to kind of point out and see if we can get into your language,
okay,
is when people are making choices about, like, should I pick this person or this person or this person? It helps to sometimes educate them about what they actually really are looking for. I do this a lot. This is my approach when I'm writing letters of recommendation. I know this school or this program is looking for, like, a really good student or whatever they're looking for. Usually they kind of say it. There's some language somewhere where it's like, this is what we're looking for. But standard, you know, a good person, a good student. But I'm like, no. What you're really looking for is someone who is going to be such an addition to your program as a student, as a collaborator, as a person, that they really do succeed with what you have to offer them and become the alumni that you can then point to as a success. That's what the schools really want. What they want are successful alumni. What they think they're looking for are, like, good people, good students. But it's like, this is what you really want. And now I'm going to tell you why this person will meet that requirement. Because they're like this and this and this and this and this. So my approach to sort of, because I'm looking to kind of set you apart with the personality that comes through your writing, but also set you apart going, I think I want to remind you what you're actually looking for. So it's sort of like, I know you're on this site looking for a voice that you think would really bring your project alive. Because that's what they think they're looking for. That's part of what they're looking for, you know, or a voice that would be a great match for your project or really, you know, enhance your project. I hope if my voice appeals to you, I want you to also know what's behind the voice. Behind the voice is a person who loves to collaborate, is able to problem solve, and is someone and is fun to work with and someone you can trust to raise your material to the next level. So that's what you also get when you work with me.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, like you're looking for a voice that's going to, you know, zhuzh up your thing, your project. And, you know, if you think my voice is a good match, here's what else you get. Mm-hmm. Whereas all the other people are like, I'm a good voiceover artist. I'd love to work with you. I will deliver your stuff on time. It's like, well, you should obviously be a professional. Like that sort of goes without saying. So I don't actually think you need to use the phrases that are making you like feel a little nervous, like above and beyond, you know, fulfill your voice. Like, what did you say here? Producing quality voiceover that exceeds your expectations. You don't have to say that.
Okay.
The reason we're recording this is because I don't remember the four things I just said, except like you're fun to work with, blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm a collaborator. I'm a problem solver. I'm fun to work with and I will deliver, what a thing that raises your material to the next level. And so what they're doing is they're like, oh, right. Yeah. We are looking for a great voice. Oh, but yeah. We want someone who's easy to work with and fun. That would be nice. So if I'm deciding between this person who's like, yeah, I'm really good. Hope we can work together. And you who's like, yeah. Hey, if you think my voice is great, this is what you get. Totally, you know, open to having a chat or whatever. I know you have the ability to craft that. What's most important for me is to give you the understanding of what you're really doing here mm-hmm. with people. And it's similar to what you do in an interview for a job. It's like they think they want this. But if you can go and go, I know you're looking for this, but I also bring this to the table and this to the table, and you're going to need some of this to the table. If this is what, you know, your office is like, you know, it's like, oh, and what you're showing them is you understand their world. You need someone who loves collaboration, who's fun to work with, you know, not an asshole in the booth, that kind of thing. And then, so then you then pick a little like coda at the end. So since you've already said you're fun, you can just say, I want you to come up with this because this is really like the little bit of your personality. You know, if you want to go along the lines of what you had, you could do something like, in a world of AI and bots and all these other weird robotic things, I bring the human touch, not only in front of the mic, but also to just start working together, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So do you get what I'm?
Yes.
Just the subtle shift. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That does make a lot of sense. Thank you.
So that is that, but then let's talk about the anxious brain and the worrying about overpromising, being able to deliver on your philosophy. Because that is, it's very, very important that you don't use language that's, for a lack of a better word, like triggering to you. Because you don't have to. You can completely craft something that doesn't use any of that language at all. Because the truth is, you don't have to over-deliver. You just have to deliver. You have to deliver something that impresses them, which may not even be your best work, depending on who the people they've worked with before. Like their level of happiness could be your 85% of effort.
Right.
You do not have to go into every situation feeling like, oh, in order to quote unquote be competitive in the marketplace, I have to distinguish myself by over delivering. I would rather distinguish myself by being enjoyable to work with, totally a pro professional, you know, not causing any problems, and just making this a smooth and enjoyable experience for both of us. Because I think people are more, they really are looking for people who are easy to work with and fun to work with and just aren't a problem. Then he over-delivered and got it in 3 days in advance. And no, it's not necessary. Just deliver. So this is you doing an experiment with your life of going, I'm going to see how far I can get in this whole voiceover world, just delivering my best, but not pressuring myself in any way. Because the only way you're going to know what enough is if you experiment with seeing how little is enough. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And some people are afraid to do that. So they just operate at 110% mode all the time and burn out. Because they haven't done the experiment to realize, oh, that's actually not necessary. Sweet. Sweet. So part of you, because I think this is part of the anxiety a little bit, is like, oh God, I want to attract really great people to work with. Like, I want to work with nice people. I don't want the pressure cooker situation that I used to have in my life, mm-hmm. even though that's in another career. But I want this career to feel good. And you're the parallel side of that is, and I'm worried it's not, and I'm worried I'll get some like bad apples and ugh. And so I'm worried about that. So I'm going to put up these kind of like words and phrases that you're hoping will protect you from that. No, I'm great. I'm going to overdeliver. I will fulfill your needs in every way. It's like, that's not what protects you. So you can put all of that aside. What protects you is you owning that you approach this as a professional, that you are able to deliver. And if there's something you're not able to do, you'll figure out how to do it. And that your best is good enough. You don't need the jazz hands. You're just going to settle into like, I'm good at this. I love it. I'm really a great person to work with. They would be lucky to work with you. And that's what you have to believe. Mm. Oh my God, they would be. I mean, I'm not making this up. They would be lucky to work with you because you want to do your best, because you want to collaborate and have this be a joyful experience. Don't go with bitter guy over here who's just going to be fussy and like, oh, you want me to use a different mic? Like, that guy's going to be a pain in the ass, but I know 100% I'm not going to be that guy. Mm-hmm. You would be lucky to pick. I hope you're lucky enough that you randomly pick me. And then when they do, the thought is one, yay me, yay, they picked me. But two is, no, they were smart. Mm-hmm. You got to have a little of that. And then when you've got some of that, the first red flag you see on their part, you address. And the third thing is if you get good at and understand how to get clients, then you can always drop a client. People get stuck with like, oh, but I, you know, I got to keep them. They're my only client. It's like, oh no, you got to get better at finding clients, because then you don't have to worry about working with people that doesn't feel good. Because one of the benefits of being a freelancer is you kind of get to choose who you work with if you get good at getting clients and referrals from clients and things like that. So those are the muscles that are better to spend time building than the muscles of like, how do I manage a horrible person?
Makes a lot of sense. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. They would be lucky to have you, Evan. They totally would. Technical writing people, voiceover people. Because you're kind of a little gem. You have a really good heart. And boy, oh boy, is that what just people, that's what people want and need really in this world, is to find other people with really good hearts. So yay. Is that everything? Is there anything else?
That was the main thing, I think. And I'm still just marinating in that. And okay. Thank you for all that support and reassurance, because that really does help me as I approach this phase of both businesses, really.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, great. I'm excited. And I'm glad you're getting up on the sites.
Me too.
But you have, I also just, since we have this time together, I also want to affirm to you that you have really good instincts. I'm seeing them. Like, they showed up in two ways today. One, you wrote a really solid paragraph and were like, and I know I need to insert my personality. Good instincts on all of that. Secondly, really good instincts on going, but I think I'm overcompensating a little here. And I can feel it because it doesn't feel quite right. Let me get some guidance on that. Good instincts. So that's you, though. That's you. And I just want to applaud. So just, because I really want you to trust your instincts.
Okay.
Okay. Just like you were like, oh, I think I need more time on this. So I'm going to ask for it. Yeah. Yeah. And you got it. It's no big deal. And that you just built your muscle because you're like, oh, whoa, that worked. Wasn't a big deal. So now I know I can ask for things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you. So I have a question here from Anise, who is a cash flow kitten. She's a wedding dance choreographer. That's her side business, wedding dance choreography. She does other things as well. She's very creative. And she wasn't sure if she could show up today. So I'm just going to answer the question and then she can listen to the thing. Although I do have questions for her. But victory that she'd like to share. She got a client for her wedding business. Woo-hoo! And she finished her intimacy coordination training. Well, she's training to become an intimacy coordinator on film and television sets. And she finished her training. So that's awesome. So she has two questions. The first one, she's like, okay, I got another wedding client. I realized I was kind of unenthusiastic about this service for a while, partially because she's had to do other work, but also because the logistics stress me out sometimes, mainly around where the lessons take place. Right now, I offer home visits and do the choreography there, but honestly, I'm not comfortable with that as the standard for like safety reasons. And then meeting at a studio, renting a studio gets pricey. And many studios have like hour limits. So if you go a little over, you're into another hour. And right now, I also offer like doing choreography in public parks with like gazebo areas. But I've gotten complaints about being in public. And so I'm wondering what I should do. Right. So yeah, especially as the summer months come, you're going to need a place that is kind of cool with air conditioning, probably. And I totally understand about the studios. Now, if you're already doing it outside, it makes me think that this is something you can do without mirrors, that that's not a necessary component of the instruction. So, and you need some place where it's kind of locally convenient to you. And you can just tell people, yep, come here. This is where I do it. So it's time to start really thinking outside the box, because I do think studios are going to be a little too spendy. The first thing that comes to mind is churches. A lot of churches have like rooms, all different sorts of rooms, classrooms, places like that you can have wedding receptions in, but they also have like little rehearsal rooms. I'm thinking of the church my mom, you know, worked at. They had like this basement room. I actually used it to film something in once upon a time. No mirrors, but it just was this empty space, not as big as a wedding reception room, but just this empty room. And churches, you know, after the pandemic, especially, they're all hurting for cash. So that might be, and I took an acting class once that was held at a church in one of their, you know, classroom room things. It was great. It was fine. And usually plenty of parking too. So that would be something. And another place might be, although you might not be able to wear shoes, but a yoga studio, off hours for a yoga studio. Those are the two things that come to mind. You guys, oh, Anishi just entered. Hello, we were just talking about you and brainstorming outside the box areas in which you can have your dancing lessons, your choreography for your weddings. And we were celebrating you for landing a new client. Woo, woo, woo. So one of the things I mentioned was churches.
Oh, interesting.
Because as you'll hear on the recording, like they usually have rooms. They have all, and usually they have like different kinds of rooms, classrooms maybe. They also have basement rooms, or rooms like where the choir practices happen, or rooms that they rent out for wedding receptions, or even smaller rooms than that. But churches are all hurting for cash right now after, you know, yeah, masses, yeah. People haven't been going, passing the plate. So that might be an option. And usually these rooms have air conditioning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, during the summer, they won't all have mirrors. But if you're already doing people in public, it doesn't seem like the mirror is a requirement. And then the other thing I was thinking of, although I'm not sure if you could use shoes, you might have to take your shoes off, but yoga studios, like off hours where they're not holding classes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking that the reason I'm thinking of a yoga studio is the rent might be a lot cheaper, because usually yoga classes are super cheap. So they're not, it's not like they're used to getting big bucks like a dance studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might also look for places that are already teaching dance. Like they have their whole schedule. I'm just thinking of, I took S Factor classes, the pole dancing classes, and they had like their own room with all the poles. But like, I don't know if they're not just like an empty studio available for rent. They're doing their thing, but maybe there would be slots of time that they'd be like, well, it's sitting empty, so I might as well make a few dollars. So it's really outside, but this could also be somebody you know who knows somebody who just has like a tennis court in their backyard, or like a big area that they're just like, sure, like you can go and host your clients there. Like, and I thought of that because I had a friend who had a pool, and my sister, when she was able to, just wanted to kind of sit in a pool because she loves the water. And I would just call and be like, can we come over this afternoon, sit in your pool? And we would just go over and sit in her pool. She wouldn't even need to come out of the house. She's like, yeah, you could do it whenever you want. So there's people with like really big driveways.
Yeah.
You just need some space and some like privacy where no one's going to like, can you guys move? So private property, church, yoga studios are what come to my mind. And it might be worth your while to send out an email to a group of friends and say, okay, I need your brain for like a minute. Mm-hmm. I need a place and this is what I need. Do you need access to toilets? Like, what do you need? Don't have to have mirrors. No. We need to have this. It needs to be about this big.
Yeah. I would say I don't need mirrors. I do need bathrooms. And I mean, I can provide water. So it doesn't even have to have water.
Right. Even if someone has an apartment that has an underground parking area.
How interesting. Yeah.
Like if the landlord's not around and you can just do something down there. Cause I know like my neighbor, he throws catch and stuff with his kids down in our parking garage.
Huh.
You know,
maybe you think that our apartment has like a little outside thing in the back. I don't ever use it, but I could.
Yeah. You just need a space. You just need a big enough space.
Yeah. I would never think of that, but it's really right there. There's like an outside area.
Yeah. And if it doesn't have any shade, maybe there's a way you can put up like, you know, the little tarps or whatever.
Yeah.
The sun or something.
Yeah. Could even make that cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we really want to take, and I totally understand where you're like, oh God, you know, if it's hard to find a space, then why am I going to go out and get clients for this? If it's just going to be a big hassle. We want to take that out. I want a cheap to free space. Suits your needs. And that's steady. It's not like going to go away or be hard to schedule.
Yeah.
So that gets you back in alignment with like, oh, I can totally offer this service.
Yeah.
But it's a really good point that if you're like, I want to do this as a side biz, but there's a piece of it that throws you out of alignment of like, until I solve this puzzle piece,
Yeah. I didn't realize that's what it was. I was just feeling kind of disconnected from it. And then getting this client and then going through the steps, I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I think this is why I haven't been kind of putting much energy towards it. Cause that figuring out part has been kind of stressful.
And understandably so.
I mean, I ended up just going to their house this time, but it's kind of odd just being in people's houses.
Yeah. And they may think like, oh yeah, we can totally do it here. And you show up and you're like, there's not enough space.
Yeah. And just safety wise.
Yes.
I just feel kind of odd about it. So
yeah. And you don't want to be moving furniture. That's not your job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And so then you had a second question, contracts. And you wrote in creating cash flow, you mentioned contracts. And for this new client you've met already, but can I still send contracts about social media and physical liability? Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Like you can decide. Now, when you met with them, was it sort of like a meeting to see if they liked you and you liked them?
They've already paid half deposit. And we had our intro session actually just this morning. So they're like an adorable.
They are couple. On board.
They're on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So even though they're on, it is never too late to have somebody sign a contract.
Okay.
So, but ideally, this is something you, after someone's like, yeah, I really want to use you. Okay, great. Let's get started. First step, here's the contract.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it's so that, and you can write, you know, this is just so that we're on the same page. It'll answer a lot of your questions. It'll show you how we're going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just break it down and lay it out. And what do you mean by social media?
Well, I was just thinking for teaching and stuff, I have to get permission to post anything online. And there's always this kind of weird dance of like, can I use recordings? Can I not? And I'd just rather know.
Yeah. So you can have a piece of your contract. Maybe it has like its own little box around it that says, or it's a separate, you have the contract for just like, this is how we're going to work together, payment, liability, blah, blah, blah. And then you have a second page that's just about marketing materials.
Yeah.
This is my intention. I want you to feel comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like to share this stuff is because it shows people what I do. It gets them interested. It answers a lot of their questions and helps them decide if we'd be a good match. Mm-hmm. So if you'd feel comfortable, just check the boxes below, or you can check the boxes below of the ways in which you would feel comfortable allowing me to share the material I collect in photos and or video. Don't worry. If you're not comfortable with this, that's fine. I just want to ask up front so I know the boundaries. And then you can say, you know, have a line and a box where it's like, share still photos of, you know, can I share a photo? Can I share a snippet of video? Would you be willing to send me video from your wedding when you do the dance? Like all the different things you would love to have.
Yeah.
Some people will be like, yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. And people like my sister would be like, nothing, no to everything. Yeah. And then I would be probably like, yeah, you can have this, this, and some of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that just makes it nice and easy and everybody knows.
Yeah.
And you can say, you know, signing this is just your indication that we've had this conversation and you've shown a willingness for the above items. Mm-hmm. It's not holding you mandatory, you know, as mandatory. I just want a recognition that we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just have them initial, so it doesn't even seem like they're signing anything. It's not like it's a contract. It's just
yeah.
A piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It's a way for you to have the conversation instead of hoping it organically comes up. Nah, you don't want that. Yeah. And this is another piece that gets you more in alignment with your business. Is I've got the contracts. I know how to talk to them about the marketing materials. I have the space.
Yeah.
Once you are in alignment like that, that's when the energy opens for the clients to come because yeah. You're like ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You feel like a client would be like, oh my God, that's too much, or four clients. Because a lot of people are like you. You can handle one client coming
yeah.
every so often. Because, I'll just piecemeal this whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
But the magic starts to happen is if you've got systems in place where you can handle four clients coming all in 1 week.
Yeah.
That's when you really start to have a business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And congratulations on getting the client and finishing your intimacy coordinator training.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm excited. Now I'm just like, yeah, like trying to get my systems in place. I started babysitting during the time to just like have some cash coming in. But now I'm like, okay, time to kind of get back to my efforts, you know, making money how I want to make it, basically. So
totally. There's times where it's like maintenance mode, especially when you're in a course and you're just like, okay.
Yeah, basically.
Times to build.
Mm-hmm.
And it's smart to know that, well, I'm taking this course that's going to require a lot of energy. What can I just do for some cash?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not build something when you're trying to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
All in good time. Yeah. Good. So in the intimacy coordinator training, did they give you information about how to actually get the jobs?
Yes. And like, no, I'm kind of in this in-between phase of they're still working out themselves. It's such a new field. So they're still working out like their own systems. They put me on their registry and I've actually gotten contacted from that, but not like a job yet. So I think that might be a way. And then they're supposed to be putting us in connection with intimacy coordinators that are in our area. And I'm hoping just like to, you know, build those relationships so that I can figure out how they get jobs.
Right.
But right now it's feeling very much so like a mystery of how it's going to like, I know once I start working, like opportunities will come, but like how to start.
So the question you need to be asking is who, and it might be a different answer for film and television. So you want to make sure you're covering both is, who is the person who hires intimacy? What is the the job, the position title of the person who hires the intimacy coordinators?
Okay. So
it's not the director. It's not the first AD. It's probably not even the second AD. You know, who
Like that I know. It's typically the producers.
The producers?
Yeah. Well, they have to sign off. But I don't know if they're the one
who hires them.
Yeah, that I don't
who
know.
Who chooses? Yeah. The producers write the check, but who chooses? Because the you need the who, what are the titles?
Yeah.
Of the, so that you can then go find those people on the different sets and stuff. And you know, when a new project is announced, so-and-so just got a series and okay. Who's the person that I need to go, hey, by the way, I exist if you want
me.
And then you want to also really look at like, okay, what shows would want me versus another intimacy coordinator?
Yeah. Well,
definitely shows that have Black women.
Yeah.
Because I think that you, they would, as actors, wouldn't you be most comfortable with someone like yourself who's guiding this? And also one thing that sets you apart is you're young. So shows, you know, like Euphoria and these kind of shows that are kind of intense but teenagery, like the actors aren't necessarily teenagers obviously, but they're your age, so there's not somebody who's like 50 coming on doing their intimate, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you just might be given a shot over somebody else because it's like, oh, well, our actors might feel really comfortable with you. Yeah. And so that is where you'd want to kind of get your foot in the door there. So that's one thing, is like, who actually picks the intimacy coordinators and who are doing projects? What production companies and stuff are doing projects where I see myself on the screen? And then how do I also meet up with working intimacy coordinators who might need somebody on their team or who could refer me to jobs they don't want anymore? So it's this little, it's a game, Anise. It's just a game of like, how am I going to get in the door? Who's going to be my way in the door? I don't know. Am I going to go through the back door, climb through a side window? We don't know yet. So it's just about like, I'm going to find my way in, because that's how people get in, is they're like determined to get in. There's just this like, I am going to get in this house some way. And you keep trying and trying, but you try different ways. And with the good news is there's a lot of people with intimacy coordinator training who are just trying to still get in the front door. Here's my resume here. I just want, it's like, no. Back door, side window, chimney, other ways. Yeah. Exciting. So yeah, it's a lot of, it's not like a lot, I shouldn't use it, but it's research and connections, research and connections. And then reaching out cold. And even if someone's like, oh yeah, we already have one. It's like, okay, well, if anything happens to them, I'm happy to be your backup. Because that's often how you get your first chance. Is they're like, oh, we got this email from this, I don't need her. Something happens to their main woman. And they're like, where's that email? Who's this person? Maybe she can come in tomorrow, you know? Yeah. And then you'll get a chance, but you can't if people don't know you exist.
Yeah.
And then if there's after, I don't know anything about, I know like this much about the job, but if there's anything that you do or can do or have a background in that could separate you out from like, well, you might want to choose me because of this. You want to make sure you let people know that.
Okay.
I mean, you have dance training.
Yeah.
So if there's a movie musical or a stage show or something where it's an intimate dancing thing,
yeah,
you can just say, you know, I can do this intimacy coordination with a holistic understanding of what you're trying to accomplish within a dance. Now you're speaking their language.
Yeah.
Your dance background comes in handy anyway, because you just understand bodies. Mm-hmm. You should always say that. But if you're trying to connect with someone and they're doing a musical project, that's when you really kind of, again, it speaks to making them aware of what they actually need, that they aren't even thinking they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Did you like it when you took the training where you're like, oh,
I was really surprised at how it synthesizes the different things I've done in the job. I've always felt like, you know, they were so far from each other, but it's all kind of related. So it felt pretty cool to know that there's a position that like has so many elements of things I'm interested in. So the training was pretty fun. And intense though, very intense, but fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing, and this might be either something you write in a cover letter or email, or you, if you're being interviewed for the job, or if you're sort of connecting with someone who might be like a mentor or good referral source. Another thing to bring up is, you know, one of the other things that I've done a lot of is wedding choreography. And the thing about that particular type of choreography, yes, these two people know each other. And yes, these two people love each other. But they, when you get them in a situation where they're not so comfortable, it's like, it's not just about teaching dance steps. It's also about bringing that intimacy, infusing their dance that they do with the intimacy they have.
Yeah.
It's almost intimacy coordinating in reverse. They're not strangers. In fact, they're lovers, but that's not showing when they're dancing. Yeah, no. So it's like reinforcing the intimacy versus creating it from scratch.
Yeah.
But it's bringing that up in a conversation with someone is a way of showing them and articulating to them that you understand what this job is.
Yeah.
And it would just, if they had that kind of conversation with you and just had a kind of regular conversation with another person, they might just be like, yeah, but I think Anise kind of gets it. And you have had, because this is important for you to find a way to articulate what you bring to the table, even though you haven't had experience in this particular job.
Yeah.
But you have been a wedding choreographer and it is has a lot of parallels. So that's what you can bring into the conversation versus feeling self-conscious that you're like, oh God, why would they pick me? Because like, I haven't done it before. Yeah. But you've done a lot that, as you said, kind of feeds into it. And it's your job to paint that picture for people.
Yeah.
And you're trained. So but here again is the kind of languaging where you're teaching them what they really want. And it's like, obviously, you guys are looking for someone who has had the training of how to do this and what's involved and what is necessary. But there's other people out there who also have the training. But what I also bring to the table is a high emotional intelligence for what it means to bring two people together so that the energy of intimacy is created within a safe environment. And I have that emotional intelligence and understanding of how to work with people like that because I have a history with wedding choreography. And that is all about making people feel comfortable when they're in an uncomfortable situation. Maybe one partner is gung-ho and the other one's like, I don't know about this dancing stuff. And working with them in movement so that the final product is a display of that intimacy and joy. And that's how I know how to do it, even though I haven't had a lot of experience. And that, and you are, you know, I want you to pick whoever's you feels a good fit for this project, but I just want you to see that that's another component that you should really be looking for. You see how you're now teaching them. Yeah. And that's what expertise is about. It's not just, I have 50 years of doing this thing. Expertise is about, I'm leading you through how you should make your choice around this. And here's what I bring to the, here's how I check all the boxes. Because the only box you don't check right now is experience. And people think that's the most important box. And I'm like, that's not the most important box at all. Yeah. There's so much more that you can't teach someone. That if you find those qualities in a person, like, oh, I can, you'll get experience. You do the thing. That's how you get experience. We've all done something with no experience. But this is how, this is this, the subtle little things that once you're aware of like, oh, that's what the interview is really for. It's for me to also teach them what they need that I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This has been really helpful. It's like, I didn't even know I needed some coaching on IC, but I do. So I'm like, thank you. As far as putting myself out there.
Well, that's so. General coaching. That's just general coaching on how to get a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Applied to what you are actually doing.
Yeah.
But don't leave the wedding choreography. It is a definite overlap between those two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too. Yeah. I always feel so much like more energized after these calls. So thank you.
Good. And the wonderful thing about industries like this industry, the entertainment industry, is that once people realize, just like we were talking about earlier with Evan, once people realize, oh, you're good and you're professional and you're nice and easy to work with, you get passed around. You just keep getting passed around. The hardest part is just getting into being passed around.
Yeah.
Getting those first couple jobs, then it gets easier. Yeah. And part of the reason it's so hard to get in is because once you're in, it gets a lot easier. So the barriers are a little higher because the rewards of getting more and more work once you're in are greater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth getting in.
Yeah.
And it is possible. It just takes time and effort and luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, Possum. I'm so proud of you. It's fun to see you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Thank you.
So guys, do you feel complete? Is that it for the day? Because I'm just going to hang out here in case somebody shows up. But otherwise, you can also hang out. But you're also free to go if you want the time. Bye.
I'll take off as well. Thank you so much, Christine.
Appreciate it. Take care, Evan.
Take care. Bye. Bye.